Saddle up your horses. Well, welcome to the Robin Walter Show, and God bless all of you that have tuned in this fine day or evening, wherever you may be. We've got a lot to fit into the program. As always, remember you can reach me, email at robinwaltershow@gmail.com, robinwaltershow@gmail.com. The website is robinwalter.net. The podcast is, well, you hit the button and type in The Robin Walter Show, and you've got it. Unless you're on Rumble, in case it's Robin Walter Show, no the and no space between the words. I think that covers it. Let's roll. I have considered and have been urged from time to time to consider additional topics from that what I normally talk on, and that is fine. I've sort of wanted to do that, but not just given over to a whole new direction. I don't feel that, but there are other topics of considerable importance, and I am really glad at the positive, nice comments I got regarding last week's program, which at least had a portion of it dealing with debt. And debt is one of those things that, I mean, if you turn from the Word of God, if you got a country that's, abortion and sexual debauchery, all those things which have taken down other civilizations, well, there's another thing that it will lead to that will bury it, and that is debt. And we covered biblical passages. You might want to listen to last week's program. What was that? The 18th of March, I think it is, on the podcast. How debt, obviously, indebts you, makes you, as the word says, the servant of the lender. The borrower is servant of the lender. We are now the biggest debtor nation in the world by dollars, and who owns us? Who has our money, so to speak? Who is it that we owe the over $30 trillion to? Well, a good portion of it is to the Chinese government. They own us. And there's only one way out. But you have to listen to that program to find out. But we're going to try to expand on topics. Now, I am not the guy who's ever going to talk about what's the problem with your car if the starter goes, well, I don't know. Probably a battery, but it could be the starter. That's the end of that topic for me. There's so many areas I don't know jack about. I'm not going to touch on those. But from time to time, there are going to be some topics we will cover that I think you'll find of interest. They just will not be the lightning rod issues for 56 minutes that this program normally covers. But debt was one of them, and it was very important. I appreciate the comments. Thank you. And thank you for all the listeners that do write in, those who financially support this program. We couldn't do it without you, and thank you very much. But now, I want to cover a couple of things today. First of all, we're going to cover three things, if I can get to them, but in this order, we're going to cover Ketanji Brown, the Supreme Court nominee, because I want to share some things that others aren't saying, or at least pick up on some things that others have said and take it further than what they've said. We have a couple of items regarding abortion that's going to be pretty amazing. And then we are going to finish the program primarily dealing with the real reason Joe Biden cannot get too involved in Ukraine. And people are commenting, Joe, why don't you pick it up? Why aren't you stronger in the defense? Why aren't we doing more? This and that. And we covered that there's some biblical reasons not to be involved, but Joe is not concerned or constrained about the Bible. I don't think Joe would recognize a Bible in a Christian bookstore, nor anybody in his administration, for that matter. But there's another reason, at least from my sense, my perspective, which may not mean anything, but it's something no one is talking about, and I absolutely am convinced it's the answer. Joe cannot and will not step it up on the Ukrainian issue, which we will get to at the end of the program. But first, since it's on everybody's mind, the whole Supreme Court nomination process with Ketanji Brown. So when Joe goes out looking for somebody, obviously he made it very, very clear that he was going to pick a black woman. Which so Joe's the misandrist. He apparently hates the men, and he's also racist. So it's got to be black. It's got to be, you know, what kind of a litmus test? What if somebody said the only person, the only one that I will consider is a white heterosexual male? Well, the world would go ballistic. Why? Because, well, maybe, gosh, we can't run the risk that heterosexual, for goodness sakes, he might be a Christian. We can't have that in office. Well, anyway, so Joe went around and in picking Ketanji, if I'm saying that right, he was really only trying to keep the black community in tow. Black community has been owned by the Democrat Party. And if you want to be accepted in that party, you got to toe the line. You got to be all in for the Democrats. And so he picked Ketanji Brown to keep the blacks in the next election. Because he could have picked anybody, right? He could have picked a white female. He could have picked a white guy. He could have picked a Hispanic female. But the fact of the matter is he already owns the white libtards. Right? He needs to keep the blacks on the plantation. And this is the way Democrats do it. So he had to go to Brown to keep the blacks. So I guess you could kind of say he was brown nosing the black community, trying to keep them. That was the appeasement. It's so obvious. But this, my comments here really don't deal with the issue of blacks or women. I mean, the fact is, we know there are some incredibly articulate, well-qualified black females out there. Will they ever be nominated by the Democrats? Of course not. For the same reason the Democrats hated Clarence Thomas. Now, there's not an underrepresentation of blacks on the Supreme Court. Now, he thought so. Somebody said, well, we need to have, a couple of people have said, we need to have diversity on the court, greater diversity. Well, you got 9 Supreme Court justices. One of them is black. That's 1/9. That's 11%. Blacks make up 12% of the population. So that's roughly the representation of blacks in this country. 1 out of 9. Doesn't mean you couldn't have 0, and it doesn't mean you couldn't have 3 or 4. But to make an argument based on that is so ridiculously stupid that it ends up triggering these kinds of thoughts. That if you have to increase the percentage of one gender or one race, and in this particular case, you have to have more blacks to be more representative, then it would seem as though the Baltimore Ravens and about, what, 5, 6, 7 other teams whose entire complete defense is all black needs to have some affirmative action in the name of diversity to bring some whites in there, along with the Baltimore City Council and a gazillion other situations. How about basketball teams? Well, somebody would say, well, that's not about race. That's about talent. Exactly my point. Exactly my point. You pick the best person for the job. Black, white, brown, male, female, those are not the issues. But this racial patronizing, that it shows the desperation of the Democrats. So Joe Biden had to cover the country, I guess, to find. First of all, he had to pick Kamala Harris because he had to find somebody dumber than he is to look smart, which is why Barack Obama picked Joe Biden, because he had to find somebody dumber than Barack is to make Barack look smart. It's an old trick. It's an old ruse in the Democratic world. And then what has he found in Brown? I got to tell you, this isn't anything racial. I think she's dumb as a fence post. She really is, or she is gutless, or she is immoral. Now, I'm not suggesting that those three alternatives are necessarily mutually exclusive. No. But when she is asked by Marsha Blackburn, you know, what could you define a woman? And she says, no, I'm not a biologist. No, I can't. That one answer, forget the lenient child pornography sentencing, and some other things. I do think the issue about her being on the board of a school that pushes, supports Black Lives Matter, Antifa, pushes critical race theory, and all the other Marxist crap that's come to define the Democrat Party should disqualify her. And actually, if she is gets the approval of the Senate, it's time. It really is time for states to secede. In fact, that's what Tex, that's what Ted Cruz should say. If we're going to approve this woman, you know, well, that's what she says. She doesn't even know how to define a woman. She said she's not a biologist, right? But if we're gonna, it's, I mean, and it's interesting. This is a great day for women's rights. We're gonna name a woman. What's a woman? Well, I don't know. You can't. I can't define. I'm not a biologist. Well, if you can't define it, you don't know what the has it is. Then what the heck are you championing? This development. Because it's not a development at all. Maybe you're transracial. Maybe it's some white guy up there that says he's a black woman. By today's standards, that's, well, why wouldn't that be okay? Well, anyway, so this, either she's immoral and she'd be disqualified. If she can't answer a question truthfully, she's disqualified. Or if she is really as dumb as a fence post, which this one answer would seem to indicate, then she's disqualified. Let's suppose, I mean, let's, for example, let's suppose that, let's pick a great woman here, Candace Owens, a great, intelligent, articulate black female. Say, well, she's not a lawyer. Well, you know, you don't have to be a lawyer to be nominated to the Supreme Court. We have had some great justices in the past that were never lawyers. They didn't have a law degree. They had something better called common sense and decency. They didn't get muddled down with these trying to twist the words of the founders to turn it into something that they didn't say and nuance these things to such a degree that you don't understand the Constitution anymore, all to try to get around and unshackle themselves from the Constitution, which gets in the way of advancing their political narrative and ideology. No, so would Candace Owens be accepted? No, of course the Democrats would call her an Uncle Tom. Well, that doesn't fit. She's a woman. Well, it doesn't matter to the left, does it? How can you say that Tom was a man? Uncle Tom was a man. I don't know. I'm not a biologist. Can't say that. Do you just see how ridiculous this whole thing is? Well, what here? You know, I want to just throw out what I would have done. Now, this is Monday morning quarterbacking. This is after the fact, you know, coming up with things, but I can't help but think about how I would like to have approached it if I were in the Senate. And there would only be a couple of things I would have asked Brown. If I followed Marsha Blackburn and she said, Brown says, I don't know what, I can't say what a woman is because I'm not a biologist. This is the approach that I would have taken. I would have asked Ketanji Brown straight up, Ms. Brown, I have a simple question for you. Are you a woman? Are you a woman? And if she, what is she going to say? How do you splice and dice your answer to such a simple, direct question, which is even more simple and more direct? You personally, are you a woman? And if she said yes, then the follow-up question, well, how do you know that you're a woman, since you've already admitted that you're not a biologist? How do you know? Oh, that'd be fun, wouldn't it? And I would not let up. There's a whole bunch of follow-ups, but you know, I'm getting off into conjecture so deep that it serves no purpose in the program. But you see my point. Would she know she's a woman? She ought to. If she doesn't, if she said she doesn't know whether she's a woman, get the hook. Have some guys come in white coats and take her out. Take her back, re-enroll her in about fifth or sixth grade and start over, girl. But if she said yes, The obvious follow-up, well, how do you know for sure? And if you know that for sure, based on that, wouldn't that be the reason by which you'd be able to define what a woman is? The fact that we are having these kinds of discussions tells you how incredibly screwed we are. When you've got people say, oh, isn't it great that 51% of the country supports the Florida bill that prohibits the teaching and indoctrination of gender identity and homosexual crap to kindergarten through third graders? So, well, that's great, the 51%, but how about the 35% that support it? The fact that over a third of our country actually supports leading a child astray? A third of the country supports the idea and apparently would welcome the millstone being tied around the neck and being cast into the sea for leading a child astray because that's what Jesus promised them. That's a pretty wicked hell that they're bound to. Okay, that would be question number one or series number of questions pertaining to that issue. The second one is this. Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter. She's got two daughters. They are lovely. Maybe they aren't two. Who knows? How do they know if they're daughters and not sons? I would ask this question. I would say this. Please tell me with what part of this statement do you disagree? Now, maybe you agree with it, all of it, but tell me. But just if there's something you disagree, tell me with what part of this statement do you disagree? Abortion is the intentional killing of innocent, unborn human life. Now, you leave the word person out because that's the word that Harry Blackmun used in Roe v. Wade. They're not persons. Well, it's human life. He didn't deny that. He couldn't. Otherwise, he'd look like the... He'd confirm that he was the idiot that he really was. But ask her, with what part of the statement do you disagree? Abortion is the intentional killing of innocent, unborn human life. Well, if she says they're not innocent, then he'll tell me, then what could they have done wrong in the womb? If she says they're not life, he'd say, well, then why the heck do you have to kill them? Just back her into a corner and watch her sweat. And this time it won't be crying because of emotional joy. It'll be because she's embarrassed beyond the ability for anybody to reasonably answer, having dug a hole, maybe having listened to her white, no doubt white, elitist handlers. But this is what you got with the Democrat Party. And you know what? Those are fair questions. What they did to Brett Kavanaugh wasn't fair. They didn't have any evidence to go on. We're just working with Ketanji Brown's own record. They never attacked Kavanaugh on his record. The only thing you should be attacking him for, if the record is bad, bring it up. But if you don't have a record, then you go after the person. Well, Ketanji Brown has opened herself to being attacked on all fronts. She is eminently unqualified. Like I said, go back to fifth grade, start over. Maybe you can get it right, Ketanji, the second time around. Well, okay, what do we got here next? You know, I'm switching some stories around here. Interesting poll that came out. Donald Trump's favorability rating is now higher than every single national political figure. Go figure. Every single one. He's not even in the political world officially. He's not in any office. Has the highest favorability rating of every single national political figure. To show you how bad it is, now Twitter is blocking my favorite satirical site, Babylon Bee. They're locking them down because of a Rachel Levine, the queer guy who thinks he's a woman and shows up with a wig and heels and all that crap in the administration because Joe loves debauchery, as does every other Democrat. They're into debauchery. Huh. They locked down Babylon Bee because of a satirical joke about a guy who thinks he's a girl. All right. Well, Twitter, I canceled them 8 minutes after I had them. I canceled Facebook 2 days after I had them. Forget them. I don't need that crapola. I have no intention of ever engaging at that kind of level in the future. Never. People say, why don't you get on there? And I said, why? Well, anyway. So now Joe is over in Europe trying to lead, as the mainstream media would say, the free world at the European meetings, right? Well, he has to fake leadership. He can't lead at home. How on earth could he lead in NATO? The only way he could lead is from behind, like Barack Hussein famously said, because he doesn't have any original thoughts. He doesn't have any thoughts anyway. I mean, if you did a brain scan, they'd likely be analyzing the wrong part of his body. They'd need to be doing some, doing some rectal exam if they want to check his brain scan. So, Rob, that is a nice. Well, the truth hurts sometimes, doesn't it? Anyway, this is what he's trying to do to help salvage the midterm elections. But keep in mind, he's got corporate America helping him out here, too. And corporate America, well, corporate America is gone woke. They've been left for a long time. They only were ever on the right because they thought it would behoove them to be so for financial reasons. But most of corporate America is basically prostitutionary in how they play politics. And I will trust you that, or trust me, there are very few of them to be trusted. And moving to topic number two, to prove this point, the number of U.S. corporations that are now lining up to promise money to their workers to be able to get abortions. I'm not kidding. Citigroup. This hurts. Now, I've got two credit cards. I'm not going to tell you the passwords. But I got two credit cards. I've only got two. Most people got more than that. But one of them is a Citi card. And I only have it because it's with Costco. Costco has a good card. I like it. But now I'm kind of flummoxed. What do I do here? Because Citigroup announced a policy of covering travel costs for all of their U.S.-based employees that want abortions because of the changes and they call reproductive health care laws in certain states. Reproductive health care laws? How can it be what a bunch of liars. Goodness. So what they're saying is that Citigroup is saying now that they are going to cover airfare, lodging. Democrat Governor Gavin Newsom loves abortion, loves it. That's why he's Gavin Newsom. Says, quote, this is the right thing to do. We need more of this from corporate America, end quote. Yeah. Yeah, right, Gavin. We need more slaughter going on in this country. We need more innocent, unborn human life sacrificed on the altar of Molech than ever before. This is the answer. Well, it's the answer for you. It's the answer for the end of California, Illinois, New York, and maybe this country if some states don't get the heck out and leave, which I've said before. When they go, they've got to say, no more abortion. Done. No more queer marriage. No more tranny this. No more queer adoptions. Second Amendment for everybody. Put that in the new Constitution for the states that leave. Because you have to drive the Democrats out. As I will show you by this next little piece here. Well, no, I've got two more companies I want to touch on first. Apple said it's actively monitoring the legal proceedings, told its employees that they would pay for them to travel for abortions. We'll bring you to California here so you can slaughter your children on the altar here. Then a Texas-based outfit called Match Group. They own, let's see here, they own Tinder and OkCupid. I guess these are dating sites. So they've created a fund to cover travel expenses for employees that want abortions to get out of Texas. Well, Match Group, why don't you just light a match to your rear end and get out of Texas? See, this is what I mean. You have to make it You have to make it so in their face with the laws of a state that leaves that they want to leave. Because you can't shoot them. You can't do that. You can't forcibly evict them. You could just make it so ugly that they have to leave. Sort of like the administration is trying to do with vaccine, making it so bad that you have to get it to keep your job. Well, let them leave. Interesting that a dating site, okay, let's face it, dating leads to marriage. Marriage, one of the reasons is for procreation. So that a dating site, which is rooted in the procreative business, would now be telling their employees that we'll pay for you to kill your procreation. But this is the one that I wanted to touch on, Salesforce. It's a customer relations software company. They have told thousands of employees that they will help them relocate out of Texas. Perfect. Perfect. You know, just like when you talk to somebody, when you call somebody for some help, every time they say, what's your name? You say, well, my name's Robin Walter. Perfect. Well, what's perfect about my name? And are you calling with a question? Yes. Oh, perfect. Knock it off. But this is perfect. This is a right use of the word. The bad people leave, the good people stay. This is what's necessary to a successful secession to make libtards leave town. You've got to do it. Matt Rinaldi, chairman of the Republican Party of Texas, said the other day, he said, quote, Citigroup's decision to finance the murder of unborn children with a heartbeat is appalling, but not surprising considering its past adoption of far-left causes. And he went on to say, and this is what I have said for a long time, and it's hard to do because there aren't very many good companies left anymore, but he said that he's recommending now that Texas families, quote, avoid entrusting their finances with Citibank or other companies that are hostile to them and their values. Which, of course, now you could add Apple, Match, Salesforce, and a bunch of others that are lining up to do the same. Well, you know, the problem is, I've got a couple of Apple devices. I mean, I can't un-Apple me as far as those go, but I don't have to buy them in the future, do I? But there's hypocrisy. New York Mayor Eric Adams, he's dropping the vax mandate for performers and athletes, but not private workers. What is with Democrats that they just can divide and think that they can still conquer? Oh, my gosh. Okay, don't go away. I can't believe we're to a break already. We'll be right back. This is Robin Walter with the Robin Walter Show. We've got a lot more coming at you.
The Robin Walter Show is a listener-supported program. Your contribution goes to help as many people as possible to hear that the Word of God has answers to help you survive and even thrive in the dark days ahead in this country. We pledge to bring you the critical information you need to make informed decisions in this age where big tech and big media have conspired to rid our country of everything Christian. Please send your support to The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or go to robinwalter.net and use PayPal. That's The Robin Walter Show, P.O. Box 99, Wickenburg, Arizona, 85358. Or robinwalter.net and use PayPal. Thank you. Yeah, we're talking.
We are back, and before we leave the abortion topic, Washington State, their governor, Jay Inslee, what an embarrassment. What a joke. He signs a bill now that will now allow nurses to kill children. That's right. He said, in response to neighboring states' efforts to save children, we're going to give expanded opportunities to kill the unborn. You know, why? Democrats are not pro-abortion. They're anti-life. They don't have a life of their own, so they apparently feel like it's their duty to deprive others of life. They seem to be doing a good job of it, too. But is there something good happening in this area? Absolutely. Interestingly, the president of Guatemala, Alejandro Giamatti, I don't know how to say his last name. I'm no hable español Walter here. He recently declared Guatemala to be the pro-life capital of Latin America. Isn't that a sweet contrast to the crap going on with our country and this administration? The pro-life capital of Latin America. He was at a celebration of a pro-life celebration. And what did he criticize? He wasn't criticizing the anti-life people per se or the abortion doctors. What he criticized or who he criticized was the pressure that he is getting from the U.S. and some other Western countries to push anti-life policies, pro-abort policies. You make them, we scrape them. No fetus can beat us. Policies. And gender ideology on other countries, like and including Guatemala. So understand that under Barack Hussein Obama, two of his biggest exports were queerdom and abortion. And Joe is making Barack Obama look like a kindergartner in this area. But to add to the good news and maybe the list of countries that maybe you might consider moving to. Now, I got to stay here and fight, but it's not to say maybe you wouldn't have another home somewhere else when you got to flee. But there's this Geneva Consensus Declaration, which the core of the Geneva Consensus Declaration is that there is no such thing as an international right to abortion. No such thing. And there, besides Guatemala, there are 35 other countries that have signed the declaration as part of an international pro-life movement. 36 countries. Now, they may be little countries. A bunch of them are Muslim countries. They don't do that. They got more morals than that. They punish and prosecute sodomy, and they don't allow abortion. They've got it over us in a couple of areas, big time. Well, the concluding and saddening fact here is that while there are now 36 countries that have signed this declaration as part of an international pro-life movement, Joey No Brains hate every child in the womb, Biden, removed the United States from the Geneva Consensus Declaration. Donald Trump put us there. Donald Trump emulated a passage from Scripture. You know, I set before you this day life and death, and the Lord speaking through, gosh, I forgot whether that was all of a sudden, whether it was Joshua or Moses, but I speak to you today to choose life. Don't choose death. The Democrats are anti-life. The contrast is so strong and growing. Heck, maybe we need Guatemalans coming into this country because they're future Republicans. Never thought of that. And what do we get with the 100,000 Ukrainians Joe announced this morning that he wants to have come here, allow to come here? 100,000 Ukrainians. I don't know. Maybe they'd vote Republican. Have no idea. After all, it doesn't matter most of the cities anymore whether you're legal or illegal to vote. That's how we've polluted and corrupted the system. But, you know, there's one thing. I'm now going to go back to Biden, and we're going to finish the rest of this program with this topic about why Biden is reluctant to do more for the Ukraine. But I want to start this with his trip to NATO, where he is right now, and he's trying to fake it as a leader of the free world. The guy can't find his way to the bathroom. So he couldn't lead anything unless there's somebody ahead of him to follow. But the press is building it up like this is Joe to the rescue. Oh my goodness sakes. That's like bringing arsonists to a raging fire to put it out. Well, there is a rule when you go on these foreign diplomatic junkets, if you will, that you don't bring up local politics at these things. This is not where you're supposed to be trumping, so to speak, for office for the next time around. No, that's not what you do in these things. But what does he do when he gets to Europe? He starts talking about and repeating for the nth time, though it has been defrocked, if you will. It has been defanged. It has been fact-checked by real fact-checkers. The Charlottesville Very Fine People hoax, he brings up at the NATO summit. The only hoax involved here, the only hoax is the hoax itself, that the hoax that Trump was involved in a support of neo-Nazis regarding the Charlottesville confrontation, which had some right-wingers there who got harassed by the left. The right didn't pick that fight. The left did. But they said that it was a melee between the two. Well, one side attacked the other. There was more self-defense. And he said that there were, of the legitimate protesters, there were some very fine people on each side, legitimate protesters. But Biden lies about this. Biden lies about everything. So it's just second nature to him. So he repeats the infamous very fine people hoax in Brussels, in Belgium, claiming that Trump, not by name, but he said his predecessor, praised neo-Nazis who rioted in Charlottesville, Virginia, in 2017. And that's why he's coming to the rescue of the Ukrainians who have been falsely called neo-Nazis. Well, you know, before I get to Hunter Biden's laptop and all of that stuff, but I got to continue and finish this portion of it. The president was speaking in a press conference, and the European reporter asked Biden how he could be sure that his successor in 2024 would not undo his diplomatic approach to NATO. Well, now keep in mind, the European reporter is ticked and doesn't like Donald Trump because Trump irked and ticked off European powers because he actually demanded that the Europeans live up to their commitment to spend a minimum of 2% of their gross domestic product on their own defense, instead of just having Uncle Sam bail out their tush monetarily for defense costs every single year. That's why they don't like Trump, is because Trump actually was forcing them or attempting to force them to do what they said they would do, which they didn't. They've been living off from us for decades. Forget them. Forget Western Europe if they're not going to pay their, let me use a Democrat term, fair share. Now, Germany finally did it reluctantly, very reluctantly, belatedly, finally bellied up to the bar and did what they said they'd do decades ago and haven't. But then Biden goes on to just lie again and lie. He said that he had no intention of running whatsoever for president until he saw what happened in Charlottesville. So let's get this. Joe, who knows that he's lying, who knows the media is lying about Trump and what Trump said in the context in which he said it, Joey is saying that it was a known lie to him that motivated him to run for president. This is actually a double lie because he never mentioned that for a long time until it became politically convenient. And second of all, if he was motivated by what didn't happen, motivated by what did not happen, that Trump did not say that at all in that context, easily proven over and over and over again, then what Biden is saying is that I can start lying about this, just like the media is lying about it, and it might help me get elected. My, how convenient. And now to a related topic, which is one of our main topics today, as to what is behind Biden's reluctance on Ukraine. Now, I'm not saying we should be rushing in to help Ukraine. I've made a point that, you know, man should not meddle in affairs that are not of his own. The one who does is like picking up a dog by the ears. Do we have a dog in the hunt in Ukraine? No, not really. There's some interesting things happening there. I saw this Ukrainian gay pride and training group marching through. Now, the question is that Russian disinformation? No, because it came through on a website that would, which I won't name here at this point, but will not put out stories for the most part, that would sully the reputation of the left. Now, my biggest suspicion about Ukraine is simply this. Why is the left so in love with defending them? Well, you know what's going on there is tragic. And we had a program a couple weeks ago about how do you tell misinformation from disinformation from the truth? How do you separate fact from fiction? You can get it on a podcast and it would be worth listening if you haven't heard it. But there's an unusual reluctance by Biden on this, and his getting involved, he's keeping it at a distance, which might be the right thing, but I can guarantee you it's for the wrong reason. How do I know? I have to tell you, it's one of those things that I know that I know that I know. It's in my knower. And what I don't understand is why this possibility or probability is not at all discussed on the mainstream news. Because I think it, frankly, is pretty obvious as to what is going on here. Joe Biden does not have the guts to deal. Well, first of all, he just doesn't have the guts, period, to deal with Putin. Putin scares him. Joe is easily intimidated. Joe is a weak, feckless eunuch in a Brooks Brothers suit. And, of course, Brooks Brothers takes no responsibility for that because they can't control which of their suits turns up empty. But he's afraid of them, and that might be reason enough. But why is he afraid of Putin? Well, I don't think Joe is up to any real big fight. He talks about being raised in some tough neighborhood in Scranton, Pennsylvania. Oh, come on, Joe. Knock off the crapola, will you? He is scared of Putin, but not for the reasons because Putin is smarter. He is brighter. He's got more guts. He's wrong on the Ukraine thing, in my opinion, if I had to weigh in. Definitely wrong. The real reason Joe Biden is afraid of Putin and afraid of pushing his button too far, or pushing a button so that he ends up pushing a button. Let's ask ourselves a couple of questions here. Who has the best espionage developed government and policies in the world? China is a great guess, but they're actually eclipsed by the Russians. The Russians, without question, have the best espionage. Now, they didn't get involved in the political race on behalf of Trump, the old Russian collusion hoax. The fact of the matter is, it was Hillary they supported, because it was Hillary that peddled a whole bunch of uranium to Russia in exchange for the contribution to the Clinton Foundation. Some quid pro quo in there somewhat. I don't recall all the details because it goes back a number of years now. They were on the side of the left. The Russians were, not on the side of Trump. So why would Joe be fearful of them? Well, if Russia has the best espionage, the best surveillance, the best infiltration capabilities of any nation on the earth, and if, let's just suppose, that they didn't even have to work really, really hard, which they could get real easily, a whole bunch of information about people in the country, if they have a good friend to give it to them, i.e., China, guess what? Russia knows more about Joe's connections to China and Hunter's connection and Joe's connection to the Ukraine. Putin knows more about it than any of us know, because our media won't let us in on it. They won't spill the beans. And whatever Russia doesn't know, China can fill in the gaps. They can plug the holes. So at the end of the day, what do you have? You have Joe effectively silenced, if not essentially blackmailed, because at any given time, Putin, if he could gain access to enough of the mainstream media, could blow Joe's butt out of the water with the revelations about Joe's personal profiteering and mega million-dollar deals with him and Hunter in China, and everything that went on with Hunter Biden and Joe in Ukraine, and everything, while we're at it, that's on Hunter Biden's laptop. They got the goods on Joe. Joe is hostage. He's blackmailed. They don't even have to say a thing. Joe knows he cannot push Putin too far, or Putin can blow the socks off Joe's image, re-election capability, and all of that stuff. And why would Putin hold back? Because it behooves Russia to have an utter numbskull, an idiotic, moronic, demented jerk in the White House. That's for their benefit. It's for China's benefit. China will probably make a move on Taiwan. They're already making a bunch of moves. Joe doesn't have the cojones, the morals, or the moral fortitude to be a president, much less a president of what once was the greatest nation on earth. He doesn't have it. He's held hostage. He can't say jack. He can't push. He can say stuff. He can't push it too far because Putin can blow him out of the water with the truth. They got all the goods on Joe. Joe has to shut up. Putin has an incentive to be quiet because it behooves them to have this idiot in the White House, followed up by a moronic imbecile as vice president. They got it made in the shade from that standpoint. This is why it matters what goes on in your personal life if you're in political office. Well, I want to finish today with a story that sounds awful, but I actually see a silver lining in it. We have some new research showing that as far as recorded history in the United States, this goes back a long ways, back 100 years pushing anyway, in we have never had a lower percentage of people in the U.S. attend church. Church is now at the lowest attendance level in the known and recorded history of the United States. And doesn't it show? Queer this, queer that, tranny this, tranny that, slaughter them, kill them, coming out of the womb, let's give nurses the right to slaughter the unborn. Hey, let's pay for people in states that are good and conservative and righteous, these women who want to slaughter their unborn. We'll have them come to California or Illinois. We'll pay for them to be able to go sacrifice their children on the altar of Molech. We are toast unless something really big happens. Now, the church membership decline, which is becoming precipitous, it's fallen in each generation of the last four generations. You got to get back to the baby boomers. I guess maybe it'd be three generations. I get these confused, but Generation X, millennials, and whatnot. But anyway, get back to the baby boomers. It was where it peaked. But before it peaked, it was still higher than where it is now. It's never been this low. So you're saying, Rob, what on earth could possibly be good about this development? Well, if the decline in attendance, which in fact it really is occurring in loser churches like the Congregational Church, the Episcopal Church wouldn't recognize a Bible in a Christian bookstore, the Presbyterian Church USA. Of course, the Unitarians have always been screwed up. These churches, now the Methodists, are hemorrhaging parishioners. And how do they hemorrhage? Their people die, and there's nobody to replace them. That, honestly, is good news. If the temple at Bethel in Israel turned corrupt, what did God do? He let the temple be attacked. The temple in Jerusalem be attacked. If it's turned into a heathenistic, depraved center for ungodly worship and idolatry, then God does not covet his own buildings. He'll have them destroyed. And he is destroying the Congregational Church, PCUSA, Episcopal, right on down the line. He's having at it. The people are dying, nobody's replacing them, and guess who's buying those churches? A disproportionate number of churches that sell to another church or another religion are being sold to Muslims here in the United States. Cross comes down, some little decorator items go up on the church to signal that it's now a mosque. So you say, where is the good news? Well, I'm thrilled that God would take down and destroy the idolatrous places in this country. But that's only half of it. The other side of it is, are there churches that are growing? Yes, they are. And praise God, they happen to be among the young. Not in churches that are fake it, faking it. They're not churches that there is no spirit. Why is there no spirit? Because there are no Christians in the church. Say what you want about a younger generation, but I'll tell you, you get down to 8, 10, 12, 14 years old, that young, there's one thing those kids are really, really good at. They can spot and identify a hypocrite in a heartbeat. They do not want hypocrisy. They want what's real. And praise God, they may have been a Rahab, but they've gotten converted. They may have been a Manasseh, but he gave his heart to the Lord. We have those who have turned from evil to good. We have those who are searching for truth because they're desperate in this world of confusion to find something that's tangible and real. And Jesus Christ is that tangible and real consequence of a diligent search by those who will find him when they diligently search for him. God bless you all. We'll see you next week. Sit tall in the saddle. Remember, you ride for the brand of Jesus Christ.